Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
But like I said, I agreed with Joe Biden's statement today, behind him on this 100%. But like I said, you know, one of the things that I give him credit for, he stepped forward and he said the buck stops here. That is something that would have never happened if the former guy were still in power. Never. They'd have blamed everybody and everybody twice, even though this is his policy. And here to share some thoughts on, where we go and who is the blame? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not us that's to blame. Maybe there's somebody else. That's why I've asked Max Burns to come talk with us. Max is a Democratic strategist, also a columnist over at the Daily Beast. Max, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
So I've taken this position. Look, there's a lot of blame to go around. We can look at the former guy. We can look at Obama. Bush bears a lot of responsibility. But ultimately, I blame us. I blame we, the people who wanted this, overwhelmingly wanted this at the beginning.
Yeah, this is a conflict that over 20 years has had hundreds of mothers and fathers in Congress, among voters. This is a conflict that has been worsened at every turn by a lack of strategy, a lack of political will on the Afghan side. But honestly, Rick, I think about this, and I protested this war as one of the earliest political memories I have as a child. And I just think now about what can we do? What can Congress do to promote policy that prevents an Afghanistan from happening again? And when we figured that out, and we've done that to prevent it, then I'll worry about blaming people and figuring out who gets the points and who gets the demerits.
No, it's an excellent point. And I think we have to undo the authorization to use military force, which I guess there was a vote on recently. We've got to undo, we've got to make it harder to get into this stuff and not just, you know, give the ability to get us into these messes without any recourse or repercussion.
Yeah, and the repercussions will play out now for decades. This war is not over because the United States has withdrawn. We're going to be seeing the destabilization effect, the refugee effect internationally for decades. And I think about this photo I posted on my Twitter this evening of 640 Afghans, men, women, and children in the cargo belly of a C-17 on its way out of Kabul airport. And each one of those people will remember this moment forever, and it will shape their lives. And the future we inherit will be in large part built by the scars we have inflicted here.
No, I don't disagree. But here's the thing. You know, you go back to George Bush's policy after 9/11, and you look at the decisions they made right then and there, reshaped this world in very... very dangerous ways, because we caused refugee problems in many countries, and we caused, you know, just all kinds of upheaval. And I would argue it was for the military industrial complex and the war machine.
Well, it certainly seems that's the case, that the people who profited the most disproportionately from this were not the Afghan people, wasn't even the American people. It wasn't even American influence or credibility as a nation. It was privatized gains from a socialized disaster. And it's a disaster that we will be picking the pieces up from for decades while these companies move on to the next conflict.
But here's the thing. You're, as a Democratic strategist, as someone who your job is politics, this is going to be the red meat that each side uses and figures out how they're going to use. The Republicans are already deleting the history of the former guy's responsibility in this. They're already rewriting the history so that they can lay this entire failure at the feet of Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. How do you stop that from happening?
Well, this is an issue where I personally was torn about, is it right to engage so immediately in politics on this? And the answer is yes, because there are important things that will need to be sorted out here in the coming days and weeks. And we need to put Republicans on the record with what they've said in this moment. And right now, the GOP is saying they would love to bring Afghan refugees over. They would love to create some sort of safety net for these people. We should take them at their word. This new GOP that now loves refugees will certainly then have no problem helping us passed the DREAM Act and restoring DACA fully. They'll have no problem extending refugee and migrant caps. These are things we need to hold Republicans accountable for on their word.
Yeah, so now what we're talking, now this is going to be a whole other battleground, because now you're talking about bringing, immediately I saw, we need to bring all of those people from Kabul here to the U.S. Can we possibly do that?
We did in Vietnam, and the country was smaller then. And I think everyone would argue that the economic data, Pew recently looked at this, that the economic benefit that came from opening our doors to those who we put in peril, we brought over 1 million Vietnamese into the United States at the end of the Vietnam War. What Joe Biden's recommending right now is only about 30,000 Afghan refugees. We need to do significantly more, and we'll find in the long term that our country will be better for having done the right thing.
Yeah, but how are you going to get 30,000 people out of there as now the Kabul has basically fallen to the Taliban and they control most of the things going on there?
Yeah, this is the really indefensible part, is that the reality is, as the Washington Post has shown, as has been common knowledge for a while, that the Pentagon was aware that this was not a winnable scenario, that the Taliban was rapidly advancing, and in this time made no effort to build up any kind of evacuation plan, any kind of priority for Afghans who risked their lives to help us. And that is just inexplicable. I know President Biden, in his remarks tonight, pushed a lot of that responsibility off onto the Afghan government. But I'm not sure how much I believe that. This is something the government on our side could have and should have been tackling. And they were, quite frankly, caught unaware and blind.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, we've been spending, we've spent 20 years trying to build up that Afghan army, 300,000 strong, with the best weapons, the best technology, gave them an air force. We gave them all this stuff that now the Taliban has. And it was a day.
And I am certainly no expert in Afghan politics and history, but I will say that it is stunning to see that as before the Taliban had even entered Kabul, the president of Afghanistan was on a plane out of the country. And in many cases, the Afghan army laid down their guns, took a paycheck from the Taliban, changed their outfits, and walked into town with the organization they have been fighting for years. Biden is right that you cannot stand up for a country that refuses to stand up for itself.
Right. So where I'm going with this is, look, the leadership in Afghanistan must have had their thumb on the pulse, knowing which way the wind blows and knowing that they were never going to stand up, that they were always going to do what they did. Maybe it was, and I'm in this weird spot where, did we know that this is how it is? Because I believe that that was how it was always going to end. Or were we deluded in thinking that, no, they want democracy. They want to be their own country. They want to do what we're paying them to do. But you know, one day, I mean, wow.
It's stunning and it's disheartening. I mean, the wave of chaos that's going to come over the coming weeks will be incredibly difficult to watch and to know that your nation played a part in. But I will say, you know, the United States was the force propping up Afghanistan. If we had made it a priority to evacuate those who worked with us, those who were on bases supporting the mission, we could have easily done so. That was a choice not to prioritize, and one that I think will haunt Joe Biden.
No, he was in an unwinnable situation no matter what he did, in my view.
Yep.
This was all coming unraveled. At least I believe it was. You know, the former guy had set a timetable in place. They had made agreements. Biden tried to make agreements. There was no winning this situation. So for me, getting the hell out is the right answer. But here, yep. Now this is going to move us into a different direction now, Max, because again, I blame us, we the voters, who keep putting these people into positions, who keep voting for this stuff. And I think, you know, you've just written a piece on the 2020 census and how much more difficult it's going to be to win elections for Democrats as the Republicans, they're masters at gerrymandering. How is the 2020 census going to give them the leg up in 2022?
Well, this will be the first redistricting process since the Supreme Court's 2019 decision, which essentially said that the courts are not allowed to police whether districts are gerrymandered or not. And that decision came after a lot of federal courts, most notably in North Carolina, threw out gerrymandered districts that were so plainly white supremacist that not even the GOP could convincingly mount a defense for them. So now the courts don't have that power. Republican legislatures can essentially carve up Democratic cities without any consequence. The only people who can act to change that are Congress. And it doesn't appear right now that it's much of a priority at all on Capitol Hill.
No, in fact, I see this, the fall of Kabul. I see this all this stuff being very convenient in basically stopping any momentum that the Biden administration has and what Democrats could get to get things done. This is going to gum us up for quite some time. So maybe on infrastructure and certainly on the For the People Act, this just seems convenient to me. And I'm not being conspiratorial. It just seems convenient.
Well, depending on what side you're on, for AOC and the squad who are really trying to push the For the People Act through, this is hugely inconvenient because there was just starting to be some momentum for getting work done without Republicans. And now that's going to be especially difficult as Joe Biden tries to limit the fallout on the right from Afghanistan. He may not be as excited as he was to potentially push the filibuster as an issue and get For the People passed.
Yeah, I mean, we're moving towards very bizarre times. You know, I was reading an article about democracy deserts and how the future is going to be, you know, heavily gerrymandered, and you know, basically putting us in situations where we're polar opposite countries depending on what your address is.
Yeah, and this is an issue that's only getting worse. You know, ignoring it as Congress has done will not make it go away. The last redistricting round, Republicans gave themselves essentially a 13-point advantage or a 13-seat advantage by gerrymandering out Democratic districts. Now, this go-around, with even less oversight, they're looking at adding at least another 12 to that. So you're looking at a scenario where Democrats could outperform the popular vote by almost 15 points and still be a minority in Congress. I mean, that should terrify anyone who cares about democracy.
Well, if you care about democracy, but if you care about power, and this is where I'm in this interesting moment because a lot of my Republican friends, it's a game. It's all about winning. It's not about good governance. It's not about getting things done. It's not accountability. It's not about none of that. It's about my team won. And whatever we have to do to rig the game, to change the rules, whatever, as long as we win. And as we're looking at, you know, talking about today, ultimately, we all lose in that scenario.
We do. The only people who win in that scenario are Mitch McConnell and whoever is running the Trumpist GOP at that point. That's not a country that will be representative of anyone's interests. And anyone who thinks that making this devil's bargain of tossing democracy out for political power, anyone who thinks that's not going to backfire and that they will not end up on the outside of that power circle eventually is short-sighted and dangerously delusional.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just in this space right now that, you know, with everything that's going on, I fear nothing gets done and really bad stuff comes 2022. So, you know, because I have some Trump supporters who they have this fantasy. They really thought that on the 13th of August, Trump was going to be reinstalled. They really believe that. A little heartbroken, but rested assured that, you know, September is still around the corner, possibly then. But they're also floating this theory now because of what's happened in Kabul and Afghanistan, that now this is impeachable. That when they take back the House in 2022, both Biden and Harris are going, and they are going to reinstall the former guy.
It is full-on conspiracy theory, and, you know, floating impeachment is nothing new. I think just today, Rick Scott, senator from Florida, introduced a resolution calling for Joe Biden to be removed for mental incompetence under the 25th Amendment, and an hour later sent an emergency request to the president asking for Florida to be declared a disaster area. So they're trying to have it both ways. It's pure politics. And the best we can do is to not give any of those distractions attention.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it is all about the game. But And here we are in the middle of still this spike going on. Like you said, Rick Scott's asking to declare his state a disaster area while attacking the president. It's quite amazing that they can do this with a straight face.
And it's amazing that I agree with Ron DeSantis on something. His state is an unmitigated disaster.
Absolutely. And it's going to get worse because, they're not willing to do anything, to make it any better. I mean, they're listening to the worst elements. I don't know if you've been spending time, watching these school board meetings where these people who barely, passed, high school biology are now these great epidemiologists and virologists. The people who 6 months ago couldn't do their kids math, but now are experts in biology. Are running around saying we can't wear masks, and they're buying this stuff. No leadership.
And these are sort of no holds barred. I had no idea a school board meeting could get quite so intense. There are some fists being thrown at these, but this is on the Republican Party. I mean, this is their rhetoric, and it's whether they can't or won't contain it. It has to be treated as a public health risk, and the people platforming these individuals should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah. No, I mean we're in an interesting moment, and I'm looking towards the next couple of days to see how things are going to go. I'm hoping there's part of me that goes, we're Americans, we get amnesia. This will be in the news a couple of days. We'll forget about it. We'll go back to the mall. We'll just keep buying stuff on Amazon, and we'll forget all about it. And it'll be something else down the road, and maybe we can get some work done. But I also worry that this becomes what the GOP just hammers on from now until Election Day.
Yeah, and the thing I will say, as cynical as it may sound, is that statistically polls have shown and data has shown that foreign policy decisions, even things like the end of the Vietnam War, don't really meaningfully impact polling, that Americans don't really decide their votes on foreign policy.
Yeah, good point.
So this is something I think Republicans will try and message. They're going to find it doesn't play, and they're going to move on. But that should not absolve us from our moral responsibility to do right by these people.
I'm right there with you. Max, I appreciate the time and the work. Always great having you on the program. I appreciate it. Keep it up.
Anytime. Thanks.
Good stuff. Our good friend Max Burns. Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.